We ought to be grateful that God saw fit to let us live through the night, enjoy the blessings of a beautiful day, and come here to study and to pray and to sing praises unto God. It's good to see you. It's good to be with you. I appreciate the confidence you had in me in asking me to come to have a small part in this gospel meeting. Good to see Jerry again, to work with him this week. And good to see a number of you. I've seen other places, and I look forward to being with you through the week. Let me confess up front, I'm very human, that I'm very capable of making a mistake. If you find that to be the case, if you let me know about it, I should be glad to sit down with you, and if I've taught something this volume does not teach, I'll be happy to correct it, repent of it, ask God to forgive me, and never preach it again. Is that fair enough? Well, on the other hand, if you find it to be so, which I think you will, the only thing that I ask is that you accept it, you believe it, you obey it, you live by it, and teach it to others. That way we can study together and have a good meeting. Let me ask you to do three things for this meeting. First, that you come to every service. Secondly, that you pray for the meeting, for me, that I might preach the truth like it is, and that those who come might have a receptive mind. And then thirdly, bring somebody with you. I'll do my very best to preach the gospel in its purity and simplicity the best that I can. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes today about that one word, thyself. I'm afraid that too many of us get to thinking that when we read this book or listen to a sermon, that it's always talking to somebody else, not me. I want to assure us that when we read and study, the Bible is talking to me. It's talking to you. That little word, thyself, helps us to appreciate that. And as the basis for this study, I'm reading from the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. 1 Timothy 4:16, Paul said, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." A small word, but has great meaning. Let me call our attention some occasions when this volume addresses thyself. First of all, the Bible calls upon each of us, first of all, to study. In the book of 2 Timothy 2 and 15, the apostle uttered, "Give diligence or study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." If I'm to rightly divide the word and not wrongly divide it, I've got to study. I've got to put forth the effort. That's what that word study or diligence means. Be diligent to learn, to know, and then to do. Throughout the pages of this sacred volume, God has called upon his people to study. In Hosea 4:6, the prophet said that my people are destroyed. What for? Where they lived? No. What they drove? What they worked at? No. For lack of knowledge. God destroyed his people because they didn't know. In John 8:32, Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." In Matthew 9:13, Jesus said, "But go and learn what this meaneth." In Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and learn of me." In 1 Timothy 4:13, Paul said, "Till I come, give heed to reading, to teaching." In Revelation 1:3, "Blessed is he that readeth." And so the scriptures certainly point out that we need to read and to study to know. I challenge you today, as you think about that little word, thyself, study to show thyself approved unto God. But I hear somebody say, "You know, I don't like to study." And I can understand that a little bit. But you can learn to like to study and read. The story is told of a young lady who read a book. Somebody asked her, "How do you like the book?" She said, "It's the worst book I've ever read." But she met a young fellow, and they got to dating, and they got to talking about the book, and he said, "Yeah, I know about it. I wrote it." So she read it again. And somebody asked her, "How do you like the book?" And she said, "It's the best book I've ever read." Why the difference? Now she knows the author. When you get to know the author of this book, God, you'll read it. You'll appreciate it. I need to study to show myself approved unto God. Secondly, when I think about that little word thyself, the Bible calls upon us to exercise thyself. Somebody said, that's right up my alley. I like that, exercising. I ride that stationary bike every day. Nothing wrong with that. Or I walk, I jog, okay. The scriptures call upon us to exercise ourselves. In the book of 1 Timothy 4, verse 7 and 8, the apostle in writing to young Timothy, 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8, calls upon us to be a people who exercise. He said this, but refuse profane and old wives' fables. Now watch the next phrase. And exercise thyself rather unto godliness. And then he compares bodily exercise with spiritual exercise in these words. For bodily exercise profiteth little. He said it does do a little good. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, watch it, and that which is to come. There is life to come. That's life beyond the grave. Did you pick up that point? Exercise thyself. Let me ask you. You been doing some exercise lately? Like this? Spiritual exercising? Like praying and studying and teaching and visiting and all those things that we're called upon as the Lord's people to be engaged in. Be busy doing the work of the Lord. Like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:58, wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Been doing that? Have you? But again, whenever you think about thyself, the scriptures call upon us to behave thyself. We need to be taught about behaving. In 1 Timothy 3:15, Paul said, if I tarry long, he's going to come to see Timothy, that you may learn how to behave thyself in the church, which is the pillar and the ground of the truth. The church is the stay, the support of the truth. And in that midst, he said, behave yourself. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean not run in the building and tear things up? Well, we ought not do that. But I doubt if that's what he's talking about. Behave yourself has the idea of conduct yourself properly. Act like a Christian. They're the things that's required of us. And the Lord called his people Christians first at Antioch, Acts 11:26. When Paul tried to get Agrippa to be a Christian, Acts 26:28, and when Peter said, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but glorify God on this behalf or in this name. That's what he's talking about. Behave like a child of God. Behave like a Christian should. Conduct yourself properly. Who did he address that to? Thyself. That's you. That's me. But again, thyself. The Bible also calls upon us to teach thyself. Writing the Romans. In the book of Romans 2:21, the Apostle Paul emphasized to these brethren that concept. Thou, therefore, that teachest another, teachest not thyself. Thou that teachest a man he ought not steal, dost thou steal? Teach yourself. First, by the way. Suppose this morning that I preached on stealing. Suppose I studied hard and put all my points together in parallel form so I could teach them easily and you could get a hold of them easily. I covered a lot of scripture about stealing. You ought not steal. Thou that teachest another, thou art not steal. Do you steal? You get ready to leave today. You go out in the parking lot and you can't find your car. I stole it. What do you think about my teaching? Come back every night, right? Faithfully and encourage others to come? I doubt it. I don't blame you. That's what that's about. Thou that teachest another that he ought not steal, dost thou steal? Teach thyself. I think we've missed a point sometimes along that line. We have the concept and it won't work, really. Don't do like I do. Do what I say. Parents try that with their children, and they know better than that. They can see through that. Teachers may try it. It won't fly there either, will it? Won't work on the job, in the church. I don't know where that works. I like the way that Ezra said it. Ezra 7 and 10, or said of Ezra. Remember Ezra, the 7 and 10? Says that Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, to do it, and then teach it. Did you get that order? He first learned it himself, he did it, and then he taught. Sometimes we want to reverse that. We want to teach and maybe do and maybe not do. Thou that teachest another, teachest not thyself. Even Jesus our Lord fit into that category in the book of Acts 1 and in verse 1. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus. Now watch it. Of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. See the order? Even our Lord first did and then he taught. I need to learn that lesson. Maybe you do too. But there's another passage that I want you to think about or thought. Thyself. The Bible calls upon us to keep thyself pure. In 1 Timothy 5:22. Paul again writing to Timothy. That's just what he said. Keep thyself pure. Do you ever notice how simple the Bible is? And how exact? And how the Lord doesn't beat around the bush to try to say something to us. Keep thyself pure. Do you have any trouble of understanding that? Or to whom that is written? It's written to Timothy, and of course applies to keep thyself pure. Do you ever try to keep somebody else pure? Be a tremendous task, wouldn't it? But you can keep yourself pure. You need to be pure in your thinking. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 4:23. Keep thyself pure. Pure in your thoughts and in your deeds. It's important to do that. Every young person, an older person as well, needs to learn that lesson. Keep thyself pure. When you think of examples of that, perhaps one of the outstanding young men that comes into your mind is Timothy and Titus, Joseph of the Old Testament. Joseph stands as an outstanding example of a young man who kept himself pure when he was tempted to do evil. If you recall the story in Genesis 39, literally fled away, ran from it, that he might keep himself pure. I need to work on that. Perhaps you do as well. Keep thyself pure. But again, the Bible calls upon us also to consider ourselves. In the book of Galatians 6, 1 and 2, he talked to brethren, when a man is overcome with a fault, how do you go about dealing with that particular thing? Galatians 6. Verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such in the spirit of meekness. Watch it. Considering who? Thyself. Lest thou also be tempted. Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know there's danger in restoring the lost. Have you encountered that along the way? Oh, we have responsibility to try to restore those who have fallen. But you've got to be careful how you do that. You've got to consider yourself as well, lest you be tempted. Maybe not do it in the spirit of meekness that he calls upon us to do it with. if we've got a spirit of holier than thou, and I never did this kind of stuff, and here you're doing it, attitude. Consider thyself. It's something that every one of us must learn to do. Have you done that, by the way? That little word, thyself. One more point, the lesson's yours. The scriptures also call upon us to save thyself. Someone said, I didn't know you could save yourself. Oh, yeah. I just read that at the beginning from the text in 1 Timothy 4:16. Listen, take heed to thyself and to the doctrine. Continuing them, and by doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Save thyself. Somebody said, well, how do you do that? Well, the Bible has a lot of good samples in it, doesn't it? I take it this time, the book of Acts in chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, the gospel was preached for the first time. Men heard it. They believed it and asked, what must we do? And they were told to repent and to be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. They that gladly received the word were baptized. In Acts 2:40, and with many other words, Peter exhorted and testified, saying, save who? Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Have they saved themselves? They saved themselves in that they heard the word of God, they believed the word of God, repented their sins, confessed their faith, and were baptized into Christ. That's how they saved themselves. If you're in this audience this morning, and you've never obeyed the gospel, you've heard it, and you can save yourself the same way that they did, by hearing the word, believing it, and obeying it. Maybe you've obeyed that, but you've been unfaithful, and you've drifted away. You want to come back by repenting of your sins and confessing that unto God in prayer unto Him. Won't you come right now while we sing?